We rejoice this day, dear God, and we accept the invitation that you've given your church throughout this world to gather on this first day of the week and humble ourselves before your throne. Dear God, we thank you that you allow us in your presence. For what will we do, dear God, in this world without knowing that you care for us? And we know you care for us, dear God, because you sent your only begotten Son, dear God, into this world to experience this world, to give us an understanding, dear Lord, that we weren't made to suffer, that you created us in this world to sing praises and rejoice that we are made in your image. And it took his blood, dear Lord, dripping from the cross. It took his anguish, dear Lord, crying out to you that he might be where you are. And you heard him, dear God. You strengthened him that we might be strengthened. You took him back into heaven, dear Lord. What gives us hope, dear Lord, that he has prepared a place for us that we might sit in your presence. But while we're here, dear God, become aware that there is sin in this world, and too often sin enters our lives and it deceives us, dear Lord. It blinds us to the beauty, dear Lord, of your church. Those that you've called out of the world to sit at your feet and be renewed in understanding of the purpose that we were made for. Lord, we ask forgiveness of our sins. We ask that you open our eyes that we might see our sins, that we might not die in our sins, but that we might become a powerful people in this world, letting this world know that you reign, that you are God, because you love your people, dear Lord, and your light shines through your people, through us. We pray for the church that meets here at Franklin, dear God, that we might be dedicated to your word, that we might set aside politics, dear Lord, for politics of this world too often enter the church. And we live by politics and not by your word. Help us to know that you are the provider of the things that we need. And the things that we need comes from your word, but your word is void unless we live it in our lives. We pray, dear Lord, for understanding. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning comes from Luke 21:16-19. You will be betrayed, even by parents, brothers, and sisters, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. May God add a blessing to those who live and believe his word. Everyone will hate you because of me, but not a hair of your head will be perished. Stand firm, and you will win life.
And if my robe is white when he calls me, if my robe is white, I will hear. If my robe is white when he calls me, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere. I'll be somewhere. I'll be somewhere listening for my name.
Mark chapter 14, verses 29 and 31. Peter said to him, "Even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not be." But he spoke more vehemently, "If I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And they all said likewise. Amen. I want to say good morning to the congregation. And whether you're a member of this Franklin family, whether you're a visitor or a virtual guest, I am grateful that we are here today and grateful that God has brought us together for yet another opportunity for worship, praise, and fellowship among those of us that be the saints of God. Again, good morning. Now, shortly I'm opening my Bible to the book of Psalms, chapter 55. And my invitation for you to join me there is these verses in Psalm 55. Will serve as a context for today's lesson, which is entitled Betrayal is Real. Betrayal is Real. Had a member of the congregation come to me on a few weeks ago, and he said, "Brother Collins, I'm having a little struggle with this, and I was wondering if we could do a lesson on this." And my answer was, certainly we can. And by God's grace, we have a lesson in front of me right now that I plan on delivering by His strength to those of us, not only the one who requested it, but those of us who are willing to do God's will in the face of a betrayal, because it is real. I want you to know that David, as he writes this psalm, he touches on things that affects our lives so directly. And the psalms help us actually to work through these feelings in a way that reflects what God thinks is best for us. He allows us to work through them by His word, because He knows what's best for us. So in Psalm 55, we want to talk about the agony of betrayal. We want to see what we can glean from Psalm 55 about betrayal, because it's a real life situation that we all have been through to some degree. And maybe we ourselves, we've been guilty of committing betrayal against someone as well. Just maybe we ourselves have been guilty of committing betrayal against someone as well. And if you're conscientious, it doesn't really matter what side of the issue you land on, because all of it is discouraging. Betrayal is discouraging. And what it does, it crushes our very souls, our very lives, and it takes us away from the protection of God. But I want you to understand one thing. Let me just kind of preface this lesson with this statement real quick, so that this could be the thread that runs through your mind this entire lesson. Here's a perspective that might just change how we view this psalm completely. Have you ever thought about the fact that God is betrayed every day? Every day. I need that thread to run through your mind as we go through this lesson. Have you ever thought about the fact that the God that we say we serve, the God that we say we love, that God, Jehovah, is betrayed every day? He's betrayed by a world that spits on the cross of Christ, and He's even betrayed by us, His people. But we know better. We know better. But we allow ourselves to be driven by the desires of our flesh each and every time. Our perspectives ought to change. And they do change, because no matter what side of the betrayal we fall on, I want you to understand that we still have responsibilities one to another. But think about this. God does not stop being God. He doesn't stop doing what is right even when we betray Him. And He tells us in a very powerful way that we ought not to stop being who He has called us to be, because we still have responsibilities even when we are betrayed as well. God doesn't stop loving us because we've betrayed Him. He doesn't stop giving us grace because we've betrayed Him. He doesn't stop pursuing us and reaching for us because we have betrayed Him. In a very powerful way, He tells us this is what we ought to do one towards another. I want you to think about what David is wrestling with right here. He's wrestling with these feelings, and he's crying out to God as he expresses his distress through prayer. Verse number one, Psalm 55. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and do not hide yourself from my supplication. You know, in our lives, sometimes we have people that are our supervisors, our bosses, or they're just over us, and they ask us to do things that they wouldn't do, right? You even heard your parents say, don't do as I do, do as I. God didn't like that. I want you to know that, right? God is not like that. The Bible says, give ear to my prayer, O God, and do not hide yourself from my supplication. This idea of do not hide yourself reminds me of the fact that David, knowing what he had done, how could he possibly appeal to the loving kindness of God knowing what he had done? The reason is that God had promised to show loving kindness to his people even when they were disobedient. At just the right time, God sent. Even while we were yet sinners, God sent. Listen, God promised to show us loving kindness even when we were disobedient. And if they would approach him humbly and put our trust in him and ask for forgiveness, God has promised to show us loving kindness, listen to me, forever. No time limit on it, forever. We put time limits on things. You might ask me for this right now, but you see, tomorrow or next week, don't come. Come looking for it. God says that he will show us loving kindness forever. We've just got to put our trust in him and humble ourselves before him. We've got to ask for forgiveness. We say the prayer all of the time, and I wonder if we really understand it. Forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who what? You're trespassing against me and you want me to forgive you? You're stepping on me and you want me to We step on God all of the time. We spit in his face from time to time. And we bow before him. We says, Lord, please forgive us. And God continues to be faithful and he forgives us. I'm talking about loving kindness forever. In the same way, we see David, he's driven into God's arms because he's in a time of distress in this psalm. And he's driven because he knows that God is faithful and will be all that he has called us to be. God will not ask us to do something that he is not willing to do. One of the things that the Israelites were told is that they were not allowed to hide themselves from the distress of a neighbor. David just says, Lord, please do not hide yourself from my supplication. Deuteronomy 22, 1 through 4. You should not see your brother's ox or his sheep going astray and hide yourself from them. You should not certainly bring them back to your brother. And if your brother is not near you or if you do not know him, then you shall bring it to your own house. It shall remain with him until your brother seeks it. Then you shall restore it to him. You shall do the same with his donkey, and so shall you do with his garment. With any lost thing of your brother's, which he has lost and you have found, you shall do likewise. You must not hide yourself from your brother. Sound familiar? Oh, here he come. I see him. Who's this knocking on my door? Let me look through the blind. I'm not home. No, I'm not. You shall not see your brother's donkey or his ox fall down along the road and hide yourself from them. You shall surely help lift him up again. So here's David. He's using language from the law that God has imposed upon his people. And he asked God to do the same thing that his law says. Don't hide yourself from me, Lord. Don't hide yourself from my supplication, because you see my distress. You see that I have a need. You see that I'm in darkness. Don't hide yourself from me, Lord. And these kind of things ought to give us confidence to go to God in prayer and express our griefs to him and pour our hearts out to God because of who he is. Pour our hearts out to God and who he has called us to be as his people. Pour our hearts out to God because our God is faithful. So already in verse 1, what we see is that we have a reason for hope even when we have been betrayed. I surmise that every last one of us in here have been betrayed. And I surmise that every last one of us in here have betrayed someone. And somebody in this building today, in the sound of my voice, might have betrayal on their mind right now. I'm begging you to turn it around. Turn it around. Because betrayal is real, but I want you to understand that the love of God is also real. Love is real. It's real. It's real. I want you to be reminded that the solution to recovering from a betrayal is being committed to what is good. It's being committed not to vengeance and not to withholding forgiveness. It's being committed to what is good because that's not what God wants us to do. Verse number 2, Psalm 55. Attend to me and hear me. I am restless in my complaint and I moan noisily. I'm distracted, the psalmist says. And because of this, that's the reason why we need to begin to deal with these emotions that we have when we encounter a betrayal. We got to go to God. We got to confront our feelings. Because one thing about grief that you will understand is that it is strong. Strong. Sometimes you just can't stop yourself from crying at all. You just can't do it. Crying day and night because of a friend of yours has caused you some grief. And you concentrate on that so much, it could be distracting. And in the aftermath of the betrayal, I want you to understand that that grief cannot be the focus of our lives. Why? Because there's plenty of life that's left to live. We got to walk away and leave them there if they do not want to cooperate, if they don't want to do the things that are right and good in God's sight. Listen, you got to cut your ties and walk. There are too many people who sit around in relationships and allow themselves to be abused or whatever the case might be, thinking that it's going to get better, that you can change that man or change that woman. Walk. I'm telling you, walk. When you see the signs, you listen, we settle too much for things that are not of God, especially as Christians. I'm telling you, you got to walk. Got to walk. Always in my mind as a child growing up, I always said to myself, because I suffered with asthma, I did not want to marry somebody that smoked cigarettes. Is that understandable? Met a young lady who smoked cigarettes, but I didn't know it until one day I went there to surprise her and I saw her get off that bus and was walking down that street and she was dealing with it. She had betrayed me. My heart was invested in her. And I stayed there a whole while, entertained her, looked at a movie, everything, drinks and all that stuff. But when she went to sleep, and I'm telling you, don't settle, you gotta walk. Because betrayal is real. No matter what type of betrayal that you're in, you gotta walk. You can't allow the aftermath of betrayal to cause you grief all of your life. When you're gonna get over it? Listen, too many of us, we constantly wrestle with that pain and that grief. And when we do that, we can't possibly do the things that God has called us to do. Because Satan has distracted our walk with God. Don't allow your walk with God to be distracted by those things that come up against you. Even in our darkest times of discouragement, there are going to be things that need to be done so that we can continue our walk with God. We got to keep our focus on God, and we have to pour our hearts out to him, out to him. Verse number 3, because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they bring down trouble upon me, and in wrath they hate me. Listen, some people behave like an enemy, but they're not regarded as an enemy. Some people will deceive you just to look at them in their faces. They will lie to you. Am I right? Just to get the things that they want from you. And we regard them just like David did. We regard them as a friend. It's not the one that we expected to betray us or to hate us. It's not the one that I expected to bear a grudge. It's a friend of mine. Listen, listen to God. It's a friend of mine who has not followed through with his commitment to love me. Has not followed through his commitment to forgive me. Has not followed through his commitment to reconciliation. And sometimes, and most times, people are just not willing to forgive us. Even when you admit that you've done something wrong, where's the forgiveness? Where is it? Are we hiding it under the blanket, under the chair? Are we hiding it? I admit that I have done something wrong. How many of us have done that? And they still spurned us. It hurts. Oh, it hurts. Especially when your heart is sincere and you really know that you are deeply sorrowful for the things that you committed, and you ask him for forgiveness and they spurn it. But I'm so grateful that this is not what God does. There is never a point where God says, I will never forgive you for this. Never a point. Instead, God says, come to me. Put your trust in me. Confess your sins, and I will wash you whiter than snow. And this is why we can't allow our grief to consume us. Because if it does, we take our eyes off of God. Our focus then becomes our feelings. We live too much in our feelings, especially young people, right? And you got these old people as well who live in their feelings. They're still sticking their mouth out because you're saying something that they just hadn't learned growing up. And they're not patient with you. Listen, we take our eyes off God when our focus becomes our feelings. It's about what I want. Am I not the one that's hurt? Am I not the one that you've hurt? I deserve to have vengeance. I deserve that. And we feel that way, and so we withhold our forgiveness. And that is a blatant disregard for the laws of God. It's blatant disobedience. That's what it is. And listen, I want to tell you that if we can excuse forgiveness, how far will it go? How far does it go? What other sins will go unchecked for the sake of our grief? Well, I just won't speak to you no more. Take care of that, right? I just won't be kind to you because you don't deserve any kindness. We're going to take care of that. I just won't love you anymore because you don't deserve that either. In fact, I'm going to excuse all that in the name of my grief because I deserve. The problem is, when all that comes to bear, I become the center of my own distress. I need you to know one thing. That's not what God wants for you. He doesn't want you to be the center of your own distress and grief, right? And on the flip side, when we extend forgiveness, some of the people who we extend it to, they're not trustworthy. You know who I'm talking about. You know who they are, and you might even be that one. Some people are just not trustworthy. What the spirit of forgiveness does for all of us is leave the door open for our hearts and our relationships to be changed. Forgiveness leaves the door open. That's what it does. And listen to me, the door should always be open. Some of us don't even have a door. What a shame. The door should always be open, and even when we are guilty of betrayal ourselves, because we need people to forgive us as well. When we are guilty of betrayal to God, we need God to forgive us. The door is never shut with God. It's always open. Come to me, all you who are laboring and heavy laden. I'm going to give you rest. You just come. Bring it. That's a basic requirement of God, forgiveness. But it's so, so difficult to practice, isn't it? How many people said in the last 24 hours? Hey, listen to me. Forgive me, B. Verses 4 through 8. My heart is severely pained within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling have come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. So I said, Oh, that I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. Indeed, I would wander far off and remain in the wilderness. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Have you been in a similar situation as David? Anybody ever want to run away from the issues at hand? Just get up and just start running. And when you finish running, where's the issue? Can't run far enough, can you? Can't run fast enough, can you? When we come to realize that we're in the midst of a betrayal, the thought is that resolving this thing is going to be difficult because we put up our feelings and defenses that are built up on both sides. And then when that happens, there's no guarantee of reconciliation. There's none because we're not working for each other. We're working against each other. When we withhold forgiveness, when forgiveness is withheld, the rift is constant and continuous. We continue with the rift because we want it to be that way. Listen, we have to choose to obey God and obey His will so that peace might abide in our hearts. Because we're at war. We've got to choose to obey God's will so that peace might abide in every relationship, whether it's new or whether you've been with him for 70 years. Whether it's been your friend from second grade, even up until now. Listen, we have to abide in God's will for relationships to last and be what God has called them to be. For relationships to abide in every heart. We have to be what God has called us to be. But you know what? We just too salty about things that we do to each other. And we never get over the saltiness. We want to carry that over and over again. Just like the lesson for Samson. He says that lady bothered him and vexed him to the point of death. That poor man. Wasn't strong enough to widow to get around that. Listen, when it doesn't exist, you know what it does? It does damage. But what does it do? It does damage to the reputation of God when we bring this unresolved matter out of the church and into the company of the world. We put God to shame. We do. And we call ourselves by the name that God gave us, Christian. And we walk out into that world and we just spill all of our dirty laundry. And you know what the world says? You need to be washed. The world tells us to look at us and they say, you need Jesus. What? Am I not a Christian already? Oh, you're acting like one. Speaking like one. Living like one. Loving like one. Verses 9 through 11. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues. For I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go around in its walls. Iniquity and trouble are also in the midst of it. Destruction is in its midst. Oppression and deceit do not depart from its streets. You know, as much as I might want to run away, it's not an option. Because we can't give up the work and the life that God calls us to do for the sake of peace for ourselves. It's not an option. We too often choose to not obey God because it makes us feel uncomfortable. We don't want to, nah, I'm not going to do that. Because running away is much easier. Doing the wrong things is much easier. Taking matters into our own hands is much easier. So we choose to run away from God. The point of the matter is, listen, we can never stop doing what is right. And even more so in our darkness and our distress and our grief, we can't stop doing what is right. We can't withhold forgiveness. But we've got to realize that God will not be on the side of the self-seeking. He's just not. Eventually, these people will turn on themselves, the Bible says. They're going to turn on themselves. But if we excuse ourselves because we've been betrayed, then we stand on the same side as the people that we're complaining about. Because we've also become self-seeking. I want it done my way. I want to get my own way. You're going to do it as I see it, not as you see it. You're going to do it like I want you to. That's me. I want it done my way all the time. Even in my spiritual life, Lord, you know I want it done. Fix it for me so it could be the way it used to be. We got to stop living in the past and live for the future, because that's where God and his word is taking us. We got to leave betrayal behind, distress and grief, and all those things that cause us to stumble. We've got to walk. Got to walk. Verses 12 through 15. For it's not an enemy who reproaches me, then I could bear it. Nor is it one who hates me, who has exalted himself against me, then I could hide myself from him. But it was you, a man my equal, my companion and my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked to the house of God in the throng. Let death seize them. Let them go down alive into hell, for wickedness is in their dwelling and among them. Here we go. This is someone who we care about deeply. This was someone whom David cared about deeply. They had sweet fellowship together. You looking around? We have sweet fellowship together, worship God together, and we sat at dinner together. Are you looking around? How much more would that double cross hurt us? Not only is it a friend, but it's also a child of God, my sister and brother, right now who I'm looking at. Right? You know what the Bible says? When Jesus was sitting at the table with the 12, the Bible says after he dipped the bread into the sop and gave it to Judas, the Bible says, and the devil entered him. How much more can that hurt us? We are betrayed by those that we love, by those that we worship with, by those that serve God in a like manner as we do. When that happens, my question is this. Do we care anything about the cause of God? Do we care about what others will see or how they will be affected? Are we so determined to hold on to our rights until we just let the church just fall into hell? No matter what it says to the community, we don't worry about that, about our confessed relationship with God. We just go on. We don't worry about what it says about God's reputation. If we truly cared about God's glory, shouldn't we resolve these differences in an unselfish way? Shouldn't we resolve them in a Christ-like way? But they don't care about God's glory, do you? They don't care about me, do you? They don't care. They didn't care about David. We only care about what we want and how we feel at the time. And we are hurting. Here's what I want you to see. I wonder if David, who's crying out to God right now about being betrayed, I wonder if David saw the similarity of what was happening to him. Because David was a betrayer, wasn't he? He betrayed a man by the name of Uriah, a man who was loyal to him and would have been his companion in battle. He betrayed him and he killed him. Could you get any closer to that? I suspect that David saw exactly that, because there's an age-old principle in the Bible that says you reap what you. So we see David praying with the understanding for God to act and do what is right, because he cannot do what's right. When I bring my hurt feelings to God, will I acknowledge, when I get down on my knees and I pray to God, will I acknowledge that I've been betraying somebody as well? When I get on my knees to God, will I acknowledge that I've been guilty of betrayal even to God himself? And I'm going to pour out my heart to God as if I am guilty as well. Help me, Lord, too, to see the way. Because we can never, you know what we do? We draw lines sometimes, don't we? And we dare people to cross them lines. And sometimes we blur it because we want them to cross it. But let me tell you something. Let me tell you this. We can never draw a line where we get to the point of no return when it comes to reconciliation and forgiveness, because God is not drawing a line with us. We must draw a line for others in the same place we want God to draw the line for us. Let me say that again. You draw the line in the same place where you want God to draw the line for us. If not, stop drawing lines. Because we've all been guilty of betrayal, every last one of us. And we might do it again because Satan is strong in this world. We betray each other more times than we can even think about. We do. And betray God even more. All of us have betrayed God himself. 16 through 18. About to wrap it up. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Even in morning and at noon I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He has redeemed my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many against me. What is our hope of recovery in time of betrayal? Do we have a hope of recovery at all? What our hope is, the psalmist says, is that God will hear the one who trusts in him. He's going to hear us. David expressed his desire for vengeance. He complained and moaned, but you know, that's okay. It's okay provided that we're willing to leave the matter in God's hands. You can do that, but leave it up to God because we can't fix it. All we can do is that which he has called us to do, because my hope doesn't rest on my cause of being vindicated, and that's where it happens when we're in our feelings. Our hope is that God is going to do what's right. And that's the best outcome for all of us, no matter what side of the coin we're on. The best outcome. If no one ever realizes that I was right and the other person was wrong, if I trust in God and stand on his word, the outcome will be God's favor for my life. My life. Regardless of whatever else happens around me, I will have the favor of God. Because faith in God and willingness to do what is right was David's plan all along, and it has to be ours also. You just got to plan and do what's right. When somebody kicks us in the teeth, spit on our feet, when they come into our space and we hadn't invited them, when we're insulted by them who we've loved for so long and they're hurting our feelings, you know what the Bible says right here? Evening and morning and noon, pray and cry aloud to God. Because he's going to hear your voice. He's going to redeem your soul in peace from that battle that was against you, but you have to call out to God in that situation. Last few verses, 19 through 21. God will hear and afflict them, even he who abides from old, because they do not change. Therefore, they do not fear God. He has put forth his hands against those who were at peace with him. He has broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than all, yet they were all drawn swords. My hope and David's hope for us is that God will see the betrayer. He will see him. Not only will he see him, he will see his refusal to change and see it as a lack of reverence for God. And that's a position that I wouldn't want to be standing in. The psalmist says that he says all the right things, but there's evil and deceit in his heart. He has vengeance on hold because grief is his focus. Selfishness rules his heart at this time. And it's a trap. It's a vicious cycle that we're in over and over and over again because we bind into self and not bind into God's will. Try to fix it ourselves. You can't fix it. Verses 22 through 23. Cast your burden on the Lord and he shall sustain you. He's never put the righteous to be moved, but you, O God, shall bring them down to the pit of destruction. Bloodthirsty and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in you. That's where my hope lies. There it is right there. My hope lies in not getting my way. My hope lies in not being vindicated so that everyone can see that I was right or how good I was. But even if they never see this, I will stand with the Lord. Difficulties and betrayal may be very well thought of as interruptions to my ideal life. I don't want that. It's interrupting my peace and interrupt my happiness. But let it be known that betrayal is real. If you're suffering grief as a result of betrayal, know that betrayal is real and the love of God is also real. Because the psalmist says that the Lord will sustain you. He doesn't say the Lord's going to take it away, because God's grace has always been sufficient, even more so if you cast your burdens on him. You're not strong enough to bear it alone. Look what the scripture says here. I want you to pay attention to this. It says, betrayers will not live out half their days. If you're a betrayer, you will not live out half. I got a birthday coming up. Thank y'all. Me and Jasmine, same day. Right? Salitra later on. July is the month, I'm just telling you. But if you're a betrayer, you will not live out half of your days. The Bible says that. Think about it. So the solution to betrayals, whether they're committed against us or by us, is the same. We have got to trust in the Lord and do not excuse yourself from doing what is right, because that's what God wants us to do. Betrayal is real and they hurt, but don't give us the right to, as God's people, to act the way we want to. Doesn't do it. God says this in Psalm 51. Create me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Here's a question for you. How long are you going to betray the love of God? How long are you going to do it? If you want to draw a line, draw it right now. Let's make a fence right now and obey the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And stop betraying God. Allow God to be the Savior of your life by hearing his word, believing that he is the Son of the true and living God, repenting of your sins, because we all are betrayers, confessing Christ in our lives, confessing Christ in our behavior, in our speech, in our walk with God. We have got to be baptized in Christ for the remission of our sins. A lot of people fight over baptism, but they're betraying themselves when they fight over baptism, because the Bible says that baptism now saves us. That's what Peter said to the Jews of dispersion. Baptism saves us. Colossians 2, it says baptism is an operation by the hands of God. It's a spiritual circumcision. The Bible says that. Baptism is by faith in Christ Jesus. We all sons of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have put on Christ, have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. You can't have them without baptism. It's a betrayal if you think you can. How long are you going to betray the love of God? It's your option. We're all betrayers. We betray each other time and time and time again. And we betray God. You want to draw a line? Let's draw it right now. Come to God. Let him save your soul as we stand and sing the invitation song.
All to Jesus.
Will you surrender to Jesus? Will you come this morning? Will you freely give your life to him?
To him
I freely give. Will there be one that they respond to the gospel of Christ? Betrayal is real. Satan is out there ready to kill all of us. Will you come and be found in Christ?
His presence daily live. Savior, I